It is 6:50. It is Friday. Now, you know, people talk and say all kinds of things, but if you really want to understand the truth of what is coming out of their mouth, you have to look at what their bodies are doing. My next guest is really one of the country's top experts in body language. He's a former interrogator in the U.S. Army. Gregory Hartley with us. He's the author of the new book, The Art of Body Talk, How to Decode Gestures, Mannerisms, and Other Nonverbal Messages. Gregory, great to have you on WILS.
Great to be here, Michael. Thanks.
Yeah. So you were, what kinds of things were you interrogating people about?
Yeah, I was primarily focused on the Middle East. I was a Cold War era guy, first Gulf War era guy throughout that entire, the growth of what we now consider modern terrorism. And I was an anti-terrorism guy for John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center at Bragg. So primarily focused on that kind of thing, insurgencies and those kinds of things.
So a lot of non-Americans, is that who you were talking about?
Oh, yeah, primarily non-Americans. And then, of course, most of my current body language knowledge of people is tied up in corporate America and lawyers and those kinds of things. Because once you leave the military, everything's a little different when you're dealing primarily with enemy combatants. Different game.
Yeah, who's harder to interpret, enemy combatants or corporate folks?
I think corporate folks, because they live in the environment you're working in. Remember, when you get a person in and you bring them into a captive environment and you actually sit them down and you have a bright light, all that kind of thing that people envision, you already have a lot of it done for you because of theater. And when you're working in corporate America, people have to survive with their own deception and that kind of thing. So they're moving through corporate America and every day practicing.
They're getting good at it. And what do you look at when someone's talking to you? What where are your eyes going?
Well, you know, my first indicator for me personally is sound. I listen for word patterns. I look for shifts in the way they behave. And then that turns my eyes on. My wife will often say, turn on your tools, because she'll think something's up and then I'll turn everything on. But typically, it's something I hear that sounds off. Okay. And then that gets my attention. I start looking at their body language. I look at patterns of deception in the way they're changing. We all communicate a normal way because we've been rewarded for that throughout our lives, from childhood to now. And when something changes in that, it's good indicator that, well, that person has changed what they're thinking. They've changed the way that their body is moving. It's the best indicator. So patterns of gesturing with your hands, patterns of illustrating, which is how your brain punctuates what you're thinking with your hands and your head. O'Reilly, of course, all over the news today, I constantly think of him as illustrating his thoughts with his eyebrows, for example. He doesn't use his hands. He uses his eyebrows. So everyone has a pattern, and you look for that. You look for an increased barrier.
What does that tell you? When someone's using their eyebrows, was that telling you something?
Not at all. It's his normal. Now, if suddenly he stopped using his eyebrows, that means something. So you're looking for what's normal for the person. You're looking for a pattern of baseline, and then you look for deviation. And there are really two schools of body language. One is the absolutist, which means if I do this, it means I'm lying. The other is looking for a baseline pattern and looking for deviation. I'm the latter.
And you're saying the deviation is more. So the whole eye contact thing, that doesn't tell you much?
Not much. It depends on culture. Americans think we look at each other constantly, and we really make about 50% eye contact, primarily because our eyes move around as we think. We don't realize that. If you go to the Middle East, there's a lot of eye contact, but in the U.S., it's about 50%, and I'll give you the reason. If you answer this question and pay attention to what your eyes do as you answer the question, you'll understand this. What's the fifth word of the Star-Spangled Banner? So as you're recalling words, you notice your eyes are with 90%
likelihood. You're running through it, okay.
Yeah, and they move slightly up into your left, because 90% of us are wired in a way that we recall sound in our left temporal lobe. So we move our eyes up and to the left as blood flow goes there. We follow that. Then we look for deviation from what's normal for the person as they tell us a story and they're using words. If they always go to the left and suddenly they go to the right, that means something. Mm. But eye contact, a person shifting their eyes around, sometimes you're forcing them to think in a way they haven't thought before. And that's all it really
Gregory Hartley is with us. His brand new book is The Art of Body Talk. And part of what you write about is ways to get past our own filters, that many times our own misconceptions are tricking us. How do you get through that?
You just hit a great one, right? We think in America that lack of eye contact means someone's lying. And in fact, it's that rigid eye contact and that hypnotic eye contact often we find means someone is lying. So it's all of these preconceived things we come up with. It's a belief that what we are talking about, that we know what we're talking about when it comes to body language. It's the thing that you learned in high school about crossing your arms means that someone doesn't want to talk to you. If it's normal for them, it's just normal for them. So it's about tearing down all those old stereotypical barriers you have in your head and looking for what's really happening and looking for deviation. That's really about taking out filters.
But you can't read anyone's mind, right?
Oh no. Yeah. I mean, if I had that ability, I would not be on the radio talking to you. I'd be rich and sitting around doing nothing, right?
That's the way you look at it. So have you found sometimes where you're certain someone's lying and that you were wrong? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think usually when that's happened to me, it's been projection. And in your life, your personal life, remember, I don't care how good you are at something in your professional life, we often are not as good at in our personal life. So I've in my life, tried very, very hard to leave these tools at home when it comes to the closest people I love.
Because in a sense, what if you're dealing with something that is very emotionally connected to you, right? That's where people really want to know if someone's lying to them when their own emotions are on the line. Is that a point where you really are not going to effectively be able to tell?
Well, I think you can, but you have to really throw a lot of your own psyche under the bus at the same time, because you have to figure out why it is that you believe that. And all of us, I think emotions cloud your views. I say to people often, try not to do this on the people you love, because love taints the way you see everything. And whether it's love, you know, that's positive or negative, and you think the relationship's gone bad, it's more difficult with people you love.
Well, sometimes you don't want to see something that's going to be painful, right? Well, why would you put yourself through that?
So. That's exactly right. So we often will cloud our own vision with protecting self. And remember, everything that we do is simply layer after layer after layer of what we've been rewarded for. So when you discover some of the things that are tainting your view and you have to strip those away, that's painful in itself.
In terms of hand motions, our president uses a lot of hand motions, like many have. Does that tell you a lot of information, the hands?
Well, he's a great body language study. As a matter of fact, I did a Twitter campaign during the campaign between him and Hillary, and he has very unique body language, and it comes from all of his many years of negotiating and all those things. There's a great example of how elaborate his body language can be when Jake Tapper's interviewing him, and he'll hold his hands up like a catcher's mitt, catch the question and put it in his lap, and then answer what he wants to answer.
Uh-huh.
So his body language is telling, and any one of their body languages can be telling, but what you have to do is learn the baseline and what's normal for them. I can tell you that Hillary Clinton in her time has changed her body language dramatically from like 2008 to 2016, not the same person body language.
Now, why is it the change you're looking for? Can't someone just keep lying without changing anything on the outside?
Well, you know, we always say that the best liars are those who have no skin in the game. If you think you'll be discovered, it's very difficult to hide that, because fight or flight comes in and then things start to deviate. So even your physiology changes. When a person gets into heightened fight or flight, their lips thin, their eyes blink, their pupils may dilate, their respiration increases. And so you can see things that, remember, we're as much a monkey as the monkeys are when it comes to that biology piece. And when fight or flight starts to hit us and that adrenal gland kicks in, we get a lot of similar behaviors to other animals. And so it's that piece that's hard for us to mask, for us to hide.
Are there people that try to have you train them how to lie without being detected?
Yeah, I've done that a little bit in my Army days, of course. You spend time on that because there's a reason to have that. You have to teach people to resist interrogation, and there's a methodical way to go about that. But yeah, surely there's a way you can get better at lying and lie detectors and that kind of thing.
Is breathing a big teller of some kind?
Absolutely. When your breathing increases, when you're feeling frightened, your respiration increases, your pulse rate increases, you start to sweat. It's all that adrenal stuff. And as a matter of fact, all of the things that polygraphs use rely on those pieces. They rely on the heightened fight or flight the humans have.
I mean, if you get someone on a lie detector, is that something that cannot be deceived in your view then?
I do believe you can deceive it, but you have to have a pattern. You have to ramp up to get your baseline to an abnormal place so that when you're looking at deviations, they're minor.
So when someone is just going eye to eye with you, is it harder to lie when someone's locked in on you eye to eye?
When someone's lying, looking at me eye to eye, I'm concerned that they're lying to me, typically, Michael. I mean, the truth for me is people's eyes move when they're thinking. So if a person's staring me right in the eyes, I probably would have an easier time. Remember that lies, there's so many elements to lying. So, for example, when a person is lying, they really do it in one of four ways. They do it by omission, by commission, by transference, or by embellishment. And if they're omitting, there are word patterns associated with that. For example, a person may bridge over something by saying, "and then I went to." Well, then what we do is we micro-interview and we open that up even more to find out the details of what "and then" means. Is it 1 minute? Is it 19 minutes? Is it 8 minutes?
You break it down into pieces, and it's hard to lie with the details, I'm guessing, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you word pattern, and you go backward and forward, and people... Mm. people have a difficult time lying.
A lot more in the book, The Art of Body Talk, How to Decode Gestures, Mannerisms, and Other Nonverbal Messages. It's Gregory Hartley. Find him at gregoryhartley.com. Gregory, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we're back here at 1320 WILS on Monday. Good night.